a time of penitence and contemplation and prayer. This is not a time to torture ourselves with shame or guilt of what we are or are not doing, our faults or our sins, but it's a time to be honest, honest with ourselves and with God. If you have not done so already, it's a good time to check the cell phones. I know it's easy to forget in the evening that they're on. Just make sure they're in silent mode. And also, two notes about worship today. We will be celebrating communion by intinction. I'll give you good instructions for when we do that. And the ashes that we're using this evening, they are mixed with sesame oil. So for anyone who has allergies to sesame, make sure you now know that that is the case. And if you've been here for Ash Wednesday before and you're not quite sure, please know that every time that we've done Ash Wednesday together, that's exactly what I've used. So if you haven't had troubles before, you'll be fine. And now let us join our hearts, our entire selves, in a time of prayer and a time of worshiping together.
Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain.
Open our ears to hear those that cry out among us.
Return to me with all your heart.
Open our eyes that we might see what needs to change in ourselves and in our world.
With fasting, weeping, and with mourning, rend your hearts and not your clothing.
Open our hearts to receive your word.
Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Open our hearts, hands, and guide our feet, that we might be your presence, O world to be a light shining in the darkness.
Our first scripture reading this evening is responsive, traditional for Ash Wednesday, we are going to read together Psalm 51. We're going to do so with right side, which is you all, and left side, which is you all. So let us begin. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Because I know my wrongdoings, my sin always right in front of me. I have sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That's why you are justified when you render your verdict, completely correct when you issue your judgment. Yes, I was born in guilt, in sin, from the moment my mother conceived me. And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret space. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and celebration again. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice once more. Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilty deeds. Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new faithful spirit inside me. Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Return the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will come back to you. Deliver me from violence, God, God of my salvation, so that my tongue can sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. You don't want sacrifices. If I gave entirely burnt offerings, you wouldn't be pleased. A broken spirit, my sacrifice, God. You won't despise a heart that is broken and crushed. We are now going to begin a time of silent confession. I would ask that you consider the ways that God is at work in you, creating in you a clean heart. In your bulletins, there are these paper crosses. Find a pen in your purse or the purse of someone nearby. You may need to share a few. I'm sure there are enough to go around. And I would ask that you reflect on two things. That you would ask God to free you from something. What is it that's weighing down your heart? It might be something that you have done wrong in some ways that you have sinned. It might be in some way that you feel separated from God or another person, yourself or creation. So ask God to free you from whatever that might be. And then if you turn your cross sideways, it says, give me strength that I might. During the season of Lent, it is often associated that we give something up. But really, the practice is in hopes that we would grow and be strengthened in our relationship with God. And so for you, it might not be giving something up. It might be taking something on, a spiritual practice, something that you need the strength from God to be able to do, to grow in your relationship with God during this time. So we're going to have just a few minutes of silence, and then there will be some music And you can use that time to be in prayer and to write on your cross. After the music, I will introduce our time of imposing the ashes. And I would ask if you would like to place your cross on the table, to leave it for God in prayer, you would be welcome to do so. Let us now take this time to bring our whole selves to God in silence, in music, and in prayer.
5:20-6:10. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything.
The last few weeks, I've wondered what my spiritual practice for Lent would be. In fact, I walked into this room not sure what I was going to write on this cross myself. But what I have written is, Dear God, free me from having everything to go a certain way. Give me strength that I might be able to find you in going with the flow. The Spirit moves in wild and wonderful ways. No matter what best intentions we may have, we find over and over and over again, we aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We get back up and we try again. And this evening is all about that reminder that God created us all from the dust, that we all have tasted the ashes of hopelessness, that we have experienced our own uncertainty and fragility. We've stood there. We know what they taste like. And we all know, no matter how long we have been on this earth, no matter how short of a time we have been on this earth, that it is to dust that we all shall return. Let us pray. God of our lives, out of the dust of creation, you have formed us and given us life. May these ashes not only be a sign of our repentance and death, but reminders that mixed with this oil, there is healing in your grace. In Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we are granted life forever with you. Amen. At this time, you're invited to come forward if you wish to receive the ashes. If you would prefer not to, you are also welcome to stay in your pews. If you'd like to receive the ashes on your forehead, wonderful. If you would prefer on your hand, just indicate so, please. Thank you. In the sign of the cross, we remember our baptism and the claim that God has on each and every one of us. And the words of one theologian reminds us that if our lives were one long piece of fabric, with our baptisms on one end and our funeral on the other, and we don't know the distance between the two, that Ash Wednesday is a time when the fabric is pinched in the middle and the ends are held up, so that our baptism in the past and our funeral in the future, they meet. That the water and words of our baptism and the earth and the words of our funerals have come from the past and future to meet us right here, right now. And in that meeting, we are reminded of the promises of God, that we are God's. And there is no sin, no darkness, and yes, not even a grave that God will not come to find us in and love us right back to life. Where two or more are gathered, Christ is with us. These promises outlast our earthly bodies and the limits of time. So this evening we also gather at this table for yet another sign of God's covenant to always be with us wherever we are. Because we remember that on the night before Jesus gave himself over to the authorities for his death, he gathered his friends around a table so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took that common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. And to remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again and again. And he did so by saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup and he poured it, that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith will surprise you. Faith you don't even know how to ask for. Faith that will sustain you. This is my blood shed for you." This is a symbol of the new covenant, the new promises that we have with God. So we take this bread and this cup and we give thanks. But these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And at this time, you're welcome to come forward. We are celebrating communion by intinction. So you'll tear a piece of bread and dip it into the cup, partake, and return to your seat. Thank you. Let us pray. Restore us to the joy of your salvation, O Lord. May around us we feel the goodness of your grace. Wherever we are, may we find you. In the midst of our brokenness, whatever those might be that we have lifted up to you, God, assure us that you are there in the midst of it. God, you're even more powerful than the wind blowing. And we know that. And we give thanks for that. And we offer all of our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
One of our other Lenten practices is that we put away for the season of Lent the Alleluia. We save that for again on Easter morning when we will sing it over and over and over again. And until then, friends, we go, assured of the love of God, the grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage it takes from the Holy Spirit each and every day, now and always. Amen.